Let me adjusting things. Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. I hope you have a day filled with ties and underwear and AutoZone gift certificates and golf and all the other meaningless gifts that are directed at fathers, he said sarcastically. In this lesson, a Barah Ministries tribute to fathers. There is more to life than increasing its speed. As Christians, we use the expression, all in God's timing, quite a bit. At least the people around me do. And whenever I hear this expression, I am always reminded of a few lines from a poem called Slow Me Down, Lord, a poem credited to so many people that I don't know to whom I should give credit. But it goes like this, Slow Me Down, Lord. Remind me of the fable of the tortoise and the hare that I may know that the race is not always to the swift. There is more to life than increasing its speed. Let me look up at the branches of the towering oak and know that it grew tall and strong because it grew slowly and well. Believers in Christ are like oak trees in God's eyes. God is slow, steady, and deliberate in the making of us, in bringing us to maturity, and he takes no shortcuts. George Goodman says of God's plan, blessing will follow blessing and storm will follow storm before the fruit of our lives comes to maturity. Spiritual growth includes joy and sorrow, contentment and suffering, inactivity and service, death and life, frenzy and rest. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, I, Paul, am confident of this very thing, that he who began a divine good work in the creation of you will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. Moses spent 40 years in the desert on his way to maturity. David endured many trials and tribulations on his way to being described as the kind of man God likes, the one who will do all his will. Paul spent 3 years alone with the Lord before teaching one thing to the Gentiles about Christ, the unfathomable riches of Christ. And as believers in Christ, we do well to patiently wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will take the body of our humble state and transform it into the same resurrection body in which he now resides. In God's plan, there is no hurry, so you don't have to be in a hurry. He perfects us in the time frame of eternity, a time with no beginning and no ending. So let us relax as we redeem the time. Welcome to the next step in our maturation process, the next chance to learn about our God and His Word. And as God prepares our souls for renewing through the study of His Word, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. In the opening song, our God reminds us believers in Christ of our destiny.
Of your soul, protector, valiant I'll caress you, hold you near through all your days and nights. My banner over you is love. You are my precious bride. I died and rose to live again. I'll never leave your side. I'll lead you to your destiny. Come take my hand and follow me. Just trust in me. Come taste and see that there is none, no one like me, who will lead you to and be to you. I will dry your tears and calm your fears. I won't let you go. I love you so. I'll come back one day, sweep you.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Bless fathers all over the world. Help those around them to see their hard work, to appreciate them, and to treat them like people and not like things, to regard them as we regard you, Father. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, what is God the Father doing right now? What is God the Father doing right now? Those close to me will tell you that I am not prone to bouts of effusiveness, the pouring out of bubbly reaction to things. I pretty much take everything in stride, no matter how exciting it is. So as Lila and Alyssa will tell you, they gave me one of the most thoughtful gifts I have ever received on Father's Day or any other day last night, and my reaction was simple. Thank you. Thank you very much. My girls took good care of me for Father's Day, and my reaction did not match my appreciation for their thoughtfulness. Yet in the wee small hours of May 19th, in a hotel room in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, it was May 18th in Phoenix, a text message with a picture of a little baby boy came across my phone, and I shrieked in delight. And I'm sure I woke up my hotel neighbors as I danced a happy dance on my bed. Snoopy and Woodstock had nothing on me. Perhaps it's just that I don't get that excited for self, but for others, I get totally excited. The picture was of William Goodall, and I couldn't have been happier for two people, Denny and Emily Goodall, that our God had given them the desires of their heart. Today's lesson is a tribute to Deacon Denny Goodall on his first Father's Day. And I'm happy to be able to honor him this way. By looking at God the Father's work on our behalf, we can illuminate Denny's fathering path. But first, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is July 13, 2014. Next week, we visit the vets, June 22nd, 1:45 p.m. See Susan Embry for details. We'll have a deacon's meeting at 11:45 to 1:15, and then I'll go racing out of here to get to see the vets. Tracy Bixby will be here, and the topic will be evangelism. We're going to start our evangelism program on the internet for Barah Ministries. We'll have a prayer meeting immediately following. No, we can't do that. Look at that. We can't have a prayer meeting immediately following next week's service, because we're going to have the deacon meeting, so we'll have it in 2 weeks. Congratulations to Debbie Kramer. She got a job in Phoenix. And she's moving to the warmth, and that won't mean anything to her until December. And then it will mean everything. The Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference of Barah Ministries is August 8th and 9th, sponsored by John and Monica Miller. And it'll be at the Red Lion Templins Hotel, 414 East 1st Avenue in Post Falls, Idaho. The phone number for John Miller is 208-755-8829. And there are 10 rooms set aside, so please call them immediately and block your rooms, because that is a room guarantee and they'll have to pay if we don't tell them. So they need to know right away. And please join us up there. There is a great non-resident congregation up there. And you really get a real sense for who Barah Ministries really is when you get outside the resident congregation. Because there are many more people in the non-resident congregation than there are in the resident congregation for right now. But there are a lot of people who listen to Barah Ministries who are extremely grateful for what we're able to do for them. Next, let's take the offering. We're going to welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. Let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians 9:7, which says, "Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver." Welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Second one from the left. There you go. Thank you, Pastor. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others around the world. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." And this verse is so much more clear now that I am a father. And, you know, you realize you can't be selfish anymore, because babies are selfish. They're very selfish. I don't think there hasn't been one time where he said, "Look, Mom, just relax, sleep an extra hour. You can feed me in a minute, and I can sit in my poo diaper, and that's fine." He's never said that, and I don't expect him to. We've been keeping a journal of all of his feeds and his voiding, as they call it. And if you look at it, it's Emily's handwriting on 32 of the lines and not my handwriting on one or two. You know, she's been just completely selfless and just, you know, pumping and breastfeeding and doing, waking up every 3 hours. And it's just amazing how selfless she has been. And that translates to you guys. You guys have been selfless by coming here. You know, you could be selfish and stay at home and selfish with your money, but you're not. And in the same way, Christ could have been selfish. He could have been selfish and said, you know, "Heck no, I'm not getting up on the cross. You need to take somebody else up there." But he didn't, you know, and you guys don't. So we really appreciate all your effort and all your giving. And we really thank you to for motivating the pastor and the deacons. And thank you so much.
When I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Ooh. from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me. Yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. 'Cause I'd love, love, love to dance with my father. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I pray for her even more than me. I pray for her even more than me.
For your generosity. Was I supposed to announce something about the food drive? Oh, okay. Cool. I thought I blew it. Well, today's study, what is God the Father doing right now? One of the strangest questions I have ever been asked in a biblical question and answer session is, what is God the Father doing right now? I can remember laughing hysterically over the question. I had just said, please ask any question you want. There are no dumb questions. And when I got back to the post-conference debrief with the other pastors, I said, I take it back. What is God the Father doing right now is one of the dumbest questions I have ever heard. And we all had a nice laugh about it. Turns out the laugh was on me. God the Father planted the question and directed it toward me because he knew I didn't know him very well. Since then, I have discovered that he has a very heavy hand in our lives. You see, it was easy for me to relate to the manifest member of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, because I have been a son, and I have laid down my life and borne my cross for many, so it was easy to relate to him. It was easy for me to relate to God, the Holy Spirit, our mentor and teacher, because I have been a lifelong mentor and a career teacher to so many. So I understood his role and its heartaches very well. But fathering, I didn't understand it at all. Not fathering, not being a father, and not having a father. And this is a role that I had to pioneer. So what seemed to be a stupid question helped me to know my real father, God the Father. Now, one of my favorite people in the world, one of my most trusted and admired friends, is having his first Father's Day today. And I am so happy for Deacon Denny Goodall. Denny and I have known each other for almost a decade and a half. And if you asked me to, I can easily recount every hurt that I have ever experienced in every lousy relationship. It's easy to remember the painful relationships. But it's not often enough that we stop to remember and to be grateful for the pleasurable relationships. And I can say with all sincerity, at the risk of jinxing it, that my relationship with Denny has been all pleasure. In the time we've known each other, We have never had a fight. And until recently, I would have considered this highly unusual. To be sure, Denny is not confrontational. He's mild-mannered, easygoing, and surprisingly funny. He also has a noise for everything. The guy has got more noises. He should be a noise imitator if there were ever a career for that. So it would not surprise you, because he's not confrontational, that we have not fought. But I am sure you know that intimate relationships with people have tension levels that rise and fall. So it was interesting for me to think about why our relationship has never gone off the rails. And I can truly say it's Denny's fault that our relationship hasn't gone off the rails. One word that underlies our relationship is Christ, because our relationship is powered by Christ. Another word that defines our relationship is respect. There is a mutual respect that is always bigger than anything that's going wrong in our relationship. And things have gone wrong, but Christ and respect is always bigger than anything else. And one of the reasons I want to dedicate this lesson to Deacon Denny is to let you in on the things that go on behind the scenes in the life of a person that means so much to Barah Ministries and so much to me, both as a pastor and as a person. When I arrive at church or any church-related event over the past decade or so, from the very beginning of our relationship, Deacon Denny is virtually always the one who is the first to greet me and to lift whatever burden I may have at the time. A warm smile, a hug, a handshake, a willingness to help and to serve is always the hallmark of his work. It's the same personally. I know that I can call him anytime for any reason, 3 a.m. or 5 minutes before an event when I'm making a 10-minute long request. And Deacon Denny always finds a way. Imagine what it has been like for him for the past 10 years or so, giving up every single Sunday of his life to set up and to tear down and to transport audio and video equipment to ensure that people all over the world can see and hear messages from Barah Ministries. It has been a burden, to say the least, and one that has been met with his characteristic cheerful servant attitude. I met Deacon Denny when Barah Ministries was in my home. He came to one of my lessons with his mom, Susie Embry. It was easy to see where Denny gets his easygoing and supportive style from. Susie is one of my most respected friends, and I can remember how she handed off Denny to me, as a mom would, encouraging me to take good care of her son's spiritual life. And frankly, I was a bit intimidated by the challenge, because I knew that Denny had been studying the Word of God from his youth, and I was always worried that I would get something wrong and he would catch it. I would always be surprised when he would have profound words of encouragement as he communicated how the lessons hit his soul, a practice he continues to this day. When Denny and Emily first announced that they had embarked on the pregnancy path, I was excited as I would have been had my own sons said the same thing. And I was a bit crushed when the process wasn't easy for them, not because I doubted God, but because I was so hopeful for them. And when the path was hard, I insisted that they knew, especially Emily, that God was going to come through for them in a big way. And of course he did. I performed their marriage ceremony, which was one of the delights of my life. I see wisdom in God sitting Emily down for a couple of months in the hospital as she waited for William to come so that she could marvel at how much the Lord is on her side. From the quiet of her hotel bed, she could watch as the Lord performed miracle after miracle to get William here at just the proper time. And little William has no idea how lucky he is that God handpicked these two parents for him. A wonderful, nurturing teacher in Emily, and a picture-perfect servant in Denny. I love you, Denny. And I want to thank you for being my faithful friend and for all the things you've done for me and for us here at Barah Ministries. Happy Father's Day. And when we come back from the break, a few words of advice on fathering from the example of the best father of all, God the Father. Take a 5-minute break. Thank you.
true. Someday you wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, and the dream that you did to, oh why can't I, oh, someday I wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like a lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find me.
Welcome back. So, Denny, you'll be happy to know that fathering has been done. Being a father has been done, so you don't have to blaze the trail. What is a father? A father is a man who exercises paternal care over other persons, a paternal protector or a provider. Men can easily emulate God the Father if they want to know how to be a great father. What is God the Father doing right now? Let's take a look. God the Father is overseeing the plan for all mankind. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. This man, Jesus Christ, was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God the Father, and you nailed him to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. God the Father allowed that so that his plan for all mankind could unfold. Being a great father is an intentional choice, and great fathers are great planners. God the Father is guiding us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, for I, Paul, am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. Being a great father means keeping your children on the path. especially when they don't want to be. God the Father is sacrificing for us. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, God the Father loved the world unconditionally so much that he gave his uniquely born son, the Lord Jesus Christ, 100% God and 100% man and one person forever, that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. Being a great father means giving, no matter the cost. God the Father loves us unconditionally, no matter how we act. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6 say this, God the Father, being rich in mercy, because of his great unconditional love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And God the Father raised us up with the Lord Jesus Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in union with Christ Jesus. In spite of his children's rejection of him, a father keeps on giving. God the Father is preparing a legacy for his son. Luke chapter 20, verses 42 and 43. For David himself says in the book of Psalms, the Lord has said to my Lord, the Lord being God the Father, has said to my Lord, Jesus Christ, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. God the Father is preparing a legacy for his son. Little does little William know that we're already starting a college fund for him so that he'll be able to go to college debt-free. See, every great father makes things easy for his son. God the Father is providing for us. And by the way, any of you that want to contribute to that fund, we are taking contributions to the Little Williams Fund. I am soliciting. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, God the Father is providing for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us believers in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, especially by placing us into union with Christ. Great fathers are great providers. God the Father is protecting us. Psalm 37, verse 24, when the believer in Christ falls, he will not be hurled headlong because God the Father is the one who holds his hand. Great fathers brood over their charge. And that's, I love that word, fathering, and the word husbanding, because it's a brooding, those are brooding words, that you cover the people under your charge with a protective covering. Yes, God the Father fights for those with whom he has a relationship. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20, at whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Because our God the Father will fight for us. Great fathers are pugilistic toward anyone who attempts to harm their children. That word pugilistic, put them up. Fight. God the Father loves. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the one who does not love unconditionally does not know God the Father, because God the Father is unconditional love. God the Father, great fathers do not hold grudges. They love unconditionally. God the Father hears our prayers. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, in all things you ask God the Father in prayer, believing, you will receive. God the Father is the one who is listening to us at all times. God the Father is encouraging. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, this command to fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's older, he won't depart from it. Great fathers encourage their children, and great fathers introduce their children to the Lord and to his word. God the Father is on our side. He gives us everything. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God the Father is for us, and he is, who can be against us? God the Father, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over as a substitute for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I think there's another verse in there that I wanted to share with you, but I didn't put it in the notes, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. It says, "And we know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, that's one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible, because everybody will say, all things work together for good. No, they don't. That's not what the verse says. The verse says, God the Father works all things together for good. For who? For those who love God. Who are those who love God? Believers in Christ. Any believer in Christ, not the spiritually mature, as some people have said. And to reiterate the point, to those believers in Christ who are called according to God the Father's purpose. And what is God the Father's purpose? The glorification of his Son. So we fathers have a sterling example to follow in watching God the Father deal with us. What is God the Father doing right now? Nothing but everything. God the Father is doing everything for us. Because if he would do the greater thing of sending his Son to the cross on our behalf, anything else we ask for him is a piece of cake. And so he expects us to ask, and he will deliver for us, because God considers our problems to be his responsibility. And so Denny, the selfish one, is expecting you to consider his problems, the need to be fed and changed, to be his responsibility. And I'm sure that you're doing a fine job, whether it's once or 32 times. I personally changed well over 5,000 poopy diapers in the course of my raising of my sons, and it was always a pleasure for me to do that part. And you have already failed in one way as a father, because you have been peed on, pooped on, and puked on. I, on the other hand, only puked on, so there's no way to avoid that. You know, if you're going to do this stupid thing, you're going to get puked on, and that's just it. But it was always, I always had my shield up to avoid the other. But I can't be more excited for anybody than I am for you, Denny, and to watch how you're going to be fathering William and how your relationship with Emily is going to come closer together as a result of this miraculous thing that God has brought into your life, little William. And I look forward to seeing God's manifestation in human form as I watch you, my friend, raise your beautiful baby boy. So happy Father's Day, Denny, and thank you all for participating in this with me, because that man is one of the great men on the planet and somebody that I would take a bullet for. And I am privileged as a human being to have him as a friend, and even more privileged as a pastor to call him a deacon and to know that I can always count on him no matter what. It's a great and joyous thing. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God the Father's will for you who are in union with Christ Jesus. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, God the Father, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God the Father cares for you. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Closing song, "The Word is Alive."
Looking out from his throne, the Father, light of men, chose to make himself known and show us the way back to him. Speaking wisdom and truth into the hearts of peasants and kings. He began to unveil the word that would change the course of all things. With eyes wide open, all would see the word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness with a message of life to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who believe. The word is life, and the world and its glories will fade, but his truth, it will not pass away. It remains yesterday and forever the same. Simple strokes on a page, eternity's secrets revealed, carried on from age to age, speaks us to truths as revealed. And the word falls from heaven, feeds the earth before it returns. Lord, let your word fall on us, give you the fruit you deserve. With eyes wide open, let us see the word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness with a message of life to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who believe. The word is life, and the world and its glories will fade, but its truth, it will not pass away. It remains yesterday and forever the same. The word is alive. The word. Alive, alive, the word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness with a message of life to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who believe. The word is alive.
Thanks, June. Let us pray. We're grateful for fathers, Father, especially you. Thank you for giving us men who are willing to be thankless, who are willing to keep their heads down and do the work. Thanks also for the deadbeat dads who shun their responsibilities, because we get to see your magnificent grace come through in those situations, and for you to provide in spite of that, because we know that you picked all parents and you always picked the perfect ones. And we pray that you give fathers the strength to stand in the face of rejection, in the face of resistance, and to keep making toughness, instilling toughness into children, and encouraging them to get up when they fall and to press on in the face of adversity. We pray that you continue to shape messages from this pulpit that are edifying to fathers and that are an accurate reflection of you in unconditional love in person and thinking and work and essence so that fathers can follow your example. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.